That's where this lesson comes from. And it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and in hymns and spiritual songs. Sing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. As we were talking last time, we had covered the message of admonishment. Now, how about the ministry? When you stop and you think, I use the example of teaching. Are all of us teachers in here? Yes. Everybody looks to you for some knowledge and wisdom. But do we all teach at the same level? Do we teach the same way? So, what makes a good teacher? Is your way better than mine? No. We just have our own niches, right? And there's some people, it was funny, I teach concealed carry. One gentleman, I believe I told y'all, he had woke up, had just bought a gun. He shot it accidentally in his house. And his wife looked at him and said, see, that's a sign. You can't teach stupid. So later he went through concealed carry class. And his wife goes, look, he now knows how to handle a gun and be safe with it. I was like, well, see, I disproved you. You can fix stupid. I don't know who liked that better, her or him. But when you stop and you think, we have our own ways that we get through. But it's important that we keep trying. There's some children that when you're talking to them, it's like they've shut you down. Have they really shut you down, or are you talking where they can't understand you? Which is it? Is it the receiver or is it the giver? And it's like Ms. Lyman said, sometimes it's both. But how many times have we sat in church and we have said a child can't understand the Bible? Do you really believe that the God above who loved you, come and died on a cross for you, do you think he would give you something that you couldn't read or you couldn't understand? That is a myth that the devil has placed in us. When you carry and you talk to a child, you have to understand that the Bible is what? It's the inspiration of who? It's the Word of God. Does not God love children? So if we're so saturated with it, the Word of God, should not a child be able to see it through us too? But a child's going to watch you on how you act. I had the privilege this weekend, or on Friday, I drove the travel bus to the game at Tabernacle. No parents were allowed, no fans, only coaches and staff. I really got to learn a lot about teachers on the way driving. But you could tell when these kids were on the bus, I've got to do this because I don't want to let this teacher down. What does that say about that teacher that a teenager going to an athletic event was more concerned with letting the teacher down? It sounds to me like that teacher has actually triggered something in that child. You could see at anywhere you go how kids radiate to people. I pick on Miss Lyon or Miss Trisha. Me, is it funny to you that when you go down the hall, little kids start migrating to you? Why?
Nice.
You're nice. What else?
Because they know I love them.
And it's genuine. Why did you choose this church? When you stop and you think, it was the love you felt. Do you think every day was smooth sailing? Is there not some type of correction or reproof that you go through? But it's how you're reproved. It's the loving careness. The want, the drive. That's what makes you open to receive the teaching. What are the four areas that the Bible is profitable? What do you think it is? The first, it lets you know right from wrong. It gives you direction. The second one, you know, it's pointing out. It's showing. So one side of showing what's right. The other side you have showing what's wrong. What's the third one? It tells us how to get our what right with God. Our heart, our lives, right with God. What do you think the last one would be? Instruction in righteousness to show how we can stay right. It's just like you. You have grandkids, don't you, that they look up to you. All kids love their grandparents. Am I wrong? I mean, grandparents give you the coolest gifts. So how inspirational are you to your grandchildren? When they run up to you. Look, I don't care who you are. Yeah, your dad may be Superman. But guess who your grandfather and your grandmother are? They're the ones that could trump Superman. Am I wrong? If you really wanted something, who did you really go to? So real quick, we can back up in our younger days. That's how we should be able to talk and teach to younger Christians. Why are our churches nowadays not being filled? I understand the COVID virus, the cootie virus, however you want to put it. But why are people turning the gospel down? It says even in Revelations, in later days, men shall know what they're doing is wrong, but what? They will not turn. Have we as Christians become more Pharisaic instead of loving and caring? When we're teaching, how do they see? There's a story in the book. It says that there was a pastor. He was asked to teach a boys' Sunday school class in the absence of their Sunday school teacher. So the pastor, he decided to see what the boys knew. So they asked the boys, who knocked down Jericho's wall? The little boys, they all looked around. Not me. I didn't do it. I didn't do it. Nope, not me. Billy did it. Not. I mean, it was back and forth. But how does a child react to stuff? They think you're accusing them of doing something. With this new pastor at the next teacher's meeting, he said, look, you know, this alarms me that these children did not know who tore down Jericho's wall. You know the response of the teachers? They go, look, pastor, if it upsets you so bad on who knocked down Jericho's wall, just take it from the building fund. We can build a new wall. But when you stop and you think, there's a lot of truth to that. When you have friends and loved ones who need help, do you know where to find it? Do you know how to help them? Who helped you? Because none of us are perfect. What does the Bible say? Iron sharpeneth iron. We have to teach each other. So if Mr. Don sees me doing something wrong, what should he do? He should come and talk to me. Because guess what? Has he not experienced more of life? He's older. He's wiser. So at that point, he should correct me. And if I am a Christian and I love God and I want to be better and learn more, how should I receive his instructions? With an open heart and mind. And guess what? If he delivers it, that he loves God, and it's so flowing through him, how is he going to talk to me? In Christian love. And guess what? At the end of it, we both will grow. But so many times, that's the disconnect. We have too much pride in our lives. We try and be Pharisaic. That's what hurts our friendships. It breaks them down. So that makes me ask a question. Who do we love more? Us or God? It's a fairly easy question. But guess what? When you look around during this time period, is this not a really frustrating time to be growing and coming and living in? A, you have the virus. B, you have uncertainty. And then the holidays on top of it. How crazy is that? Have we not been through this before, though? What do y'all think? We've been through all of these times before. And what's Christmas all about? For once, Christians, we have a path into the homes. Stores, they can't let but so many people in. Guess what? Santa Claus, you can't all go run to the mall and sit on his lap. The one time the government is helping us in a way. Let's use that tool to our advantage. Now is the time. Can we not? I remember growing up, we had old-fashioned Christmas caroling. We borrowed an old farm truck. It was beat up. It probably made more noise than we could singing. And all the kids would bale in the back of it. We'd destroy two or three bales of hay. And we would ride all night long singing. And we were happy. And guess what? Who were we singing to? We felt so alive. We didn't care about anything else. How would that make you feel if you were shut in at a nursing home? Almost imprisoned. To see a group of kids alive. Singing. How catchy do those tunes stay in your head? They stick there. I guarantee during this time of the year, barely anyone has to use a hymn book. Am I wrong? So what happens when you go singing and they hear it? I don't care who you are. Even the Grinch starts singing. And they see it off your face. It's what are you teaching? You know, even Paul told the preachers that they were to admonish and correct. How many of us in here think we're perfect? None of us. And did you see how fast everybody smiled and went, not me? That's awesome because it shows we're humble. We know why we're here. Even when the people were at home, we all know deep down inside we do bad things and wrong things. And we need to be corrected. But how are we going to correct them? When you stop and think, 2 Timothy verse 4 or chapter 4 verse 2 through 4, it says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itchy ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. When you stop and you think, please tell me why we have so many churches in just Pasquotank County. They're all denominations. They all have different beliefs. They all teach out of different Bibles, different hymnals. Why? Is that not what it's saying here? They found teachers that tickled their ear. If you come into a church and the pastor can't step on your toes, there's a problem. And it's not up here, it's more out there. A pastor should be able to step on your toes without messing up the shine on your shoes. If we can't go out of a sermon learning something, anything, then why'd we even come? Why? When a lot of us in here, just about everybody I see that I know, we all have kids. Why do you correct them? You love them. I mean, it hurts when you have to get on them. Christian says, yeah, right. He'll understand one day. And we get that. But why? Why do we have so many parents now going, okay, they're at that age, let them learn on their own? What kind of teaching is that? Do you really love them? Do you really care for them? What kind of church are they going to go to? They're going to go to ones where it's a social gathering, right? Where they have the bands playing, they have the little concession stands. They're giving out food, coffee, everything. Let's go in the back and talk in the the food court of the church. It becomes a popular hangout. But what happens when Satan comes through those doors and they're hunting their children? What can they fall back on? They have nothing. When you stop and think and go in 2 Timothy, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. If you know the Bible, do you have to be ashamed? But why does he want you to show yourself approved? So you can divide right and wrong. If you take different books of the Bible, there are some saying that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Is that doctrine? No. The Bible says in the beginning, God created the heaven, singular, and the earth. So why are churches allowing that Bible to come into their homes? Why are they allowing their children to pick it up and read it? That's false doctrine. We've got to stand the line. Who killed Goliath? David. How many books out there say that David didn't? But yet we allow it in our homes. Merce Bruce, do you remember what Bible that is? It was killed, that in modern translation, it says that Goliath was killed by two people. Oh, very, do what?
At different times.
Yeah, at different times. How confusing is that? And we wonder why our world is spinning out of control. But if we hold the line and we admonish and we're teachers and we love God, and when young kids come through, they want to hear. They want to be around you. We can stand the gap. Now is a perfect time. Especially, you know, Black Friday shopping. How many of y'all went out Black Friday shopping? I hate to say it. Me and the Chambers, we always go. I love it because I'm the driver of the vehicle, and the rule is the driver gets fed and food. Driver never goes empty. That's why I go. And then second, it's funny to watch some of these people. Me and Mr. Charles, we get into too much trouble staying around. Did you see what? Yeah, I did. I mean, we have a ball. How many, the lines weren't even bad this year. Ammo, everybody's going crazy for ammo right now. I got 10,000 rounds, I need just 500 more, and, you know. What good is it? We figured, okay, at one of the stores they have big sale on ammo. There's going to be a huge line. Let's go there and watch them. Let's have fun. What, we got there, there was like four people in the store. Right now is the time. Christians, so many of us are going, is that the end of, we're almost in Revelations. Well, we know that. Why aren't we pushing? Why are we receiving? We need to be pushing forward. Now is the awesome time. But we need to show love and caring. But what type of instructions? When you take and you look at, there's so many different Bibles out there. There's no reason why there's so much calamity today and unsettledness. If you stop and think, in 1986, two electrical engineers in a control room, they were playing around. They were going to conduct their own experiment. They wanted to see how long a turbine could free spin without power. Sounds pretty cool, right? Well, in order to do that, they had to shut down six alarms. Because if not, as the turbine's starting to slow down, one's going to say, hey, you've lost power. The other one's saying, hey, RPMs are dropping. You're going to have all these warnings. So they bypass these warnings. So as the turbine is starting to shut down, they didn't get the warnings. For two people want to have their own experiment, can you tell me what was the result of that experiment? It was Chernobyl. From two people want to experiment, how many people were killed, died? But how many of us run our lives having a nuclear disaster of our own? What are we teaching from? Are we researching? God gave you this book. We all say it was by the inspiration of God. So when the pastor's preaching, why aren't we researching? Don't we follow up with it? I love finding new things in the Bible. And there's so much that I find, I catch my head sometimes scratching it. Going, I never knew that. Is the pastor supposed to give you everything you need? No. He's supposed to guide you through it and correct you as you go. When we're talking with one another, how do we talk in the lobby? After a service, most time we're concerned where we're going to eat or how our life went this week. Am I wrong? But how many discussions do you hear about the sermon? None. Why not? Are we more concerned about our lives? And that is very truthful. So why don't we slow down? Why don't we enjoy what God has given us? and spend time. Because when you do, you know, we see the warnings out there. When you stop, and that brings us the means of it, admonishment, admonish. What's something you do in a church? What are some things? Worship. What else? Pray. What else? Praise. What else?
Sing.
Music. How easy can Satan slip in a church? And guess what? You'll buy it, put it on a CD, and play it. I knew of a teacher, I won't call her name. I asked her, how did you teach the kids at such a young age to learn the books of the Bible? Guess what they had done? Song. And guess what? It just hangs with a tune. Real quick, that song stays with you. Just like singing the Christmas carols. But when you stop and you think, Psalms 100, verse 1 through 2. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. And what? And come before His presence with singing. Why is singing important? A, it's scriptural. It uplifts the heart. When you stop and you think, and I open this book and I go to page 113. It's called Blessed Assurance. Why is that important? How does it go? Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. Taste glory divine. Heir of salvation. God. Born of His Spirit. Washed in His blood. When you stop and you think, how does that make you feel? We didn't need the book. Guess what that just said? We were singing. We didn't have music, but we were thanking God, and it was to Him. And you could start seeing people's facial expressions changing. He wants us to remember the grace He gave us. So why don't we show it more? Why would we rather let our children hear a rock and roll song? And I pick on country songs. One that the dog ran away, you know, my wife went off. You play it in reverse, you get your family back and two new dogs. Why would we rather our kids listen to that when we know this is going to save them in life? This will bring them through tough times. We'd rather our kids listen to a rap song. Satan has this way of digging his hooks in. How many church songs do you know? There was one that sounded really good. I dreamed I went to heaven, you were there with me. We walked on the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. Sounds really catchy, doesn't it? Sounds real nice. But guess, the composer has issues. Some serious issues. But when you understand this, you can see how Satan has thrown this hook in. We don't research what we bring. So first, you know, when we're making these joyful songs, we want to look at three categories. First, is Scripture. It's Psalms. It refers to putting Scripture to music. When you stop and you think, what's one of the biggest books in the Bible? Psalms. Why was it wrote the way it was? Real simple. Who wrote it? David. David was what? A musician. After whose heart? God's. Wow. Ms. Lyman even said, as soon as I said, how did they remember those books of the Bible so quick? Her and Brother Jim both goes, song. How many of y'all remember, don't sit under the apple tree with anyone else but me, with anyone else but me? Where'd that, how did you memorize that song? Can you even find it wrote anywhere now? But it was a song that got handed down. When you stop and you think, how back then could the children of Israel pass on the books of the Bible? How? Through songs. It was very easy. People would remember that. How about whistle while you work? We all heard that as a kid, and that's still, you know. Or the seven dwarfs, I-O. We remember it. What would happen if your kids start hearing you sing from the Bible? How much easier is it to memorize a verse? How many this week even tried to memorize a verse? Why? Very quickly. We're too busy for something that you're only going to live about how many years on this earth? Not even over 110. So when you stop and think, we're more worried about 110 years versus eternity. Wow. How's that make you feel? We got to plan for the long run. You know, when you stop and you think on these other churches, what's wrong with their music? It's not biblical. So if it's not biblical, where's the difference between that and rock and roll? Rap, hip-hop, R&B, country, jazz, classical, I don't care. It's all the same. It's the way Satan can get his hooks in. Next, hymns are expressions of praises to God. When you stop and think, who is more important, you or God? So we want, when we sing Amazing Grace, who are we singing that to? What are we singing? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. When you were a sinner and you're lost, you're scared, you're hurting, you're hungry. I don't care how bad, how mad you are at anyone, you start singing that song and real quick, you can remember where you used to be. Why? Because we remember. It puts us in perspective. That I don't care how bad I cross you. I could go and I could dent your car, scratch it, back into it, say something rude to you. No matter what, when you stop and think, when you think of the grace that God showed to you, where are we any different? There was during World War II, there was a Jewish doctor, and back then, the Jews were very much persecuted by the Germans. They had brought this doctor into the German hospital to take care of a German general. And this general knew he was about to die. He brought the doctor in. He goes, look, please forgive me. I have killed so many Jews. I probably even killed your parents, your mother, your wife, your kids. But please forgive me. Please give me that before I die. I'm asking for your forgiveness. Jewish doctor said he couldn't do it. And he just walked out of the room. He said one thing he can remember about the war, even after losing everything, he can remember he wouldn't forgive that German. But he knows when he stands before God Almighty, why do we want people to forgive us, but we're not willing to forgive? Yes, I understand, and I would really struggle with the same way that doctor was. But when you put things in perspective, how awesome is God? How often have you backed into His car, said something to Him? You know, we forgot about that. On spiritual songs, you know, we should tell what God has done for us. How much He has helped us. How much He has saved us. He has pulled us out of the miry clay and set my feet. What's the rest of it, Brother Jim?
On a solid rock.
On a solid rock. That's why it's important to understand these hymnals.
Mm-hmm. My old teacher, she was telling me that while you're standing in line to be seen by Christ, be judged. All those people that you see falling down that you know, part of ones of you that you confess to and give advice to about the Lord Savior, she said, that's how many times you're going to be judged because of how many souls you did not save and give to Christ.
And that brings us to our next one. It's the grace. When you stop and you think the grace that music has. When we're singing, how is the grace in our heart? You know, what's the Holy Spirit in us? Do we really appreciate and love God? So when you actually sing Blessed Assurance, there should be tears in your heart because you know what you've done to God this week, today, this hour. How would you feel if He come down right now and He goes, guess what? Today's the day. And you don't have time to change anything else you've done. How would you like to stand before the Creator? When He's going to read your thoughts, He's going to know, hey, you passed somebody on the way to church, a homeless person, and you wouldn't even pick them up to bring them to church. You had a friend call you, and you wouldn't even help them. How is that going to make you feel? When you're singing songs in church, it changes, and trust me, and if y'all don't believe me, crawl up in the choir, you can see when people are singing, Blessed Assurance. Am I wrong? It looks like, yeah, it's Blessed Assurance. Someone's standing right there poking them with a hot iron. Their face just looked like they swallowed a lemon. There used to be a song It was about this one gentleman that couldn't sing, but he wanted to be in the choir so bad. And they wouldn't let him. Oh, you sing off key. You can't hold a good tune. No, it just, is that a production up there? No. Who are you singing to? It's the praises. Miss Trish is laughing at me because a lot of times that's me. Yeah, but when you stop and you think of it, how do we treat people? We'd much rather sit out here and, if they really heard how they sounded. Am I wrong? If the microphone goes off and it doesn't sound good over the sound system, ask Brother Rick or Mr. Bruce. Everybody turns around, looks at them, and they're going, it's ringing, it's too loud, shut the mics down. Real quick, but why? I don't care if they got up there and they were out of tune. It was the most horrible sound you've ever heard. Guess what, though? They're making the joyful noise. It's not for you. It's for God. They're doing the best they can. No offense. Trust me, I've tasted some of y'all's cooking when we have a dinner. Not everybody's a cook. I question, were y'all trying to feed us and give us the best you had, or were you trying to poison us? Which is it? And we're all going to sing up there. If you love God, let it go. Sing your heart out. Because guess what? How do you think God looks down at it? Are you really happy on what He's done for you and you're down here singing? Or you want Him to hear it? Next. You know, are we singing for us or show? You go to so many churches, you see the big bands up there, they spend thousands of dollars on just that. But yet you look out in the audience, how many Bibles do you find? They sort of got the cart before the horse, didn't they? Were is iron sharpening iron. Are we teaching? Are we admonishing each other in Christ-like? Do we care how people see us? How are our children, our wives, our family, our co-workers reviewing us? Do you want to stand out for God? Are you happy that God saved you? If you are, let's show it. Let's be so saturated that it just overwhelms and it consumes us. Because guess what? What's better than going to heaven is taking someone else with you. How are you going to feel when you're looking at the judgment seat? And where do Christians go? We go to the seat of accountability, correct? But everybody else is stopping at the great white throne. Depart from me, I knew you not. I want people to get on by there. I want them to be with me at the sea of accountability. I want them to look at me and go, hey, you know, you're right, He is awesome. He gave me so much. Let's make an epidemic. It's the perfect time. As Christians, we either have to push, shove, or get off the line. Get out of the way. We've got to make a difference. We've got to care for each other. If you see a brother falling down, you pick him up. You dust him off. You help direct him on the proper path. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we could come into your house. We thank you most of all for your message and your words, dear Heavenly Father, that they not fall on deaf ears, and that we truly understand how much you have done for us. And at this time of year, dear Heavenly Father, we're reflecting on that this is the time we celebrate that you come down to show us that we could live as Christians and we can walk the walk, dear Heavenly Father. You just didn't tell us what to do, but you showed us, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for that. Please put a hedge of protection around this church, this sanctuary, that Satan may not enter in, tempt, or toss. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all were